You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother 24 here. Quite a lot to talk about for tonight's episode. Episode 3 of Big Brother 24. I am filling in for Rob. Rob, unfortunately, was not able to be here tonight. His internet was a little floppy, didn't perform up to standards. Oof. And look, it happens to everyone. We're not going to judge him for it, you know. But it did get a little floppy in his internet. So we're unfortunately going to have to move on without him. But for now, let's talk through what we've got here with me tonight to talk about tonight's episode. We've got Matt Scott. How you doing, Matt?
Yes, happy to be here. I don't have any experience with floppy internet. I don't know if that's the reference. Happy to be here and happy to be a proud son of the best place on earth, Newark, New Jersey, or just outside of it, at least. So good to be here with you, Taryn.
Is that how you're so happy?
Yeah, that's it. It's literally the greatest place on earth. I don't know how it's been the best kept secret, but now everyone knows. Go to Newark, visit Newark, go do everything in Newark. There's so many things to do in Newark, right? Like roller coasters and slides, maybe. I don't know.
And I'm just happiness. Yeah.
Apparently.
Also with us tonight is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. I had a little trouble watching the first little part of the episode prior to the first commercial break. I feel like I got it, but just with captions on, and then like some people will understand why. And then I finally got on a good stream, and now I'm caught up, I think. So yes, good, yes. Ready to talk.
Your stream was not floppy.
Right. It was luckily not a floppy stream. It was very solid. I can't anymore. Let's just
sniff, I don't know.
Everybody forget it. We're moving past it. Let's just talk about non-floppy things.
Clip forever. We are going to talk about tonight's episode. Let me make a prediction. My prediction is that we are not going to be very pleased about this episode in general. We are probably going to be talking about our displeasure with how this episode decided to portray some things. If that is going to annoy you and make you type rapidly at us, then now's your time to bounce out, I guess. Because, man, was this edit real bad.
Yeah, not great. And you know, even as someone who I've been trying to protect my peace as much as possible since the season started. How long? You said 3 months. It feels like 30 episodes in at this point with just how much Big Brother we've lived this summer. But yeah, very clear there were things missing in the episode. It just didn't all add up. And I hope that casuals are able to pick up on that too. And Taryn, of course, you do an amazing job covering, filling in all the gaps. But there are a lot of gaps in this episode.
Yeah, so I do want to say that I thought about this and I reached out to my mom as a casual viewer because I felt like we need to know
litmus test
what the casuals feel and think happened after watching this episode. So I literally called her right before we got on and I was like, Mom, is Big Brother airing right now where you are? They never watch it live. They always watch it taped. They don't like to watch the commercials. I said, please watch it right now. She's like, but your father's outside. I was like, it doesn't matter. Just watch it. I'm going to need you to watch it. And I want you to text me. I said, text me the whole time you're watching it, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're like feeling. I was like, I'm going on the podcast, so I can't talk, but like, just text me what you're thinking of each person and what's going on and what you think like the truth is and everything. Like, just tell me what you're thinking. And so it's been interesting so far. I mean, she hasn't watched that far in it, but you know, I can keep updating like as we get stuff from her, because I would really like to know, like, I mean, I don't, obviously she doesn't speak for everyone, but it is interesting to hear like what someone who doesn't really know what's going on will think is the truth in this situation. So far, like literally 5 seconds into it, she says, Paloma, ew. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess they're getting that vibe. She said, Michael, guy with glasses, good. And then she said, Taylor, just having fun with boys with outfits. And then she said, people are not standing for Michael. What the heck? Dad says they're ostracizing him. Yeah, and Indy won't help him with the veto competition. What would Janelle do? Love it from Michael. So that's what we're at.
This is thrilling. This is thrilling.
Yeah, I love your mom trying to figure out like what you're looking for. Like,
she's like, I don't know what you're like. I don't know what it is, which is good because it's like I want her to not know. Like, I tried to be very non-specific of like what I'm looking for. So I said, just tell me everything. So the fact that she already isn't a fan of Paloma, and the fact that she's liking Michael, I feel like, and the fact that she said Taylor's just having fun and wasn't like, oh, Taylor's showing off or anything like that. It was literally just Taylor's just having a good time. So like the hope is that, and obviously they didn't portray that as I would have hoped, because, you know, they didn't show everybody like basically forcing her to try this stuff on and egging her on and being like, you know, oh, come on. Yeah, you look hot, blah, blah, blah. Like they didn't really show that it wasn't just her. I mean, the way that she's in the DR being like, of course I brought a bunch of outfits or whatever. And then it's like cut to her trying on all the outfits and forcing everyone to watch her in them. Like, I just feel like that wasn't exactly how it went down and how I hoped they would show it.
Yeah. And first of all, I'll say your mom is definitely the mom voice of the people. So I hope we keep hearing from her, not only in this podcast, but in general. But also, yeah, that was the big one of the big egregious things that was missing from the episode, like people actually encouraging her to try on her clothes. But even then, like clothes are meant to be worn, and you know, maybe she just wanted to try them on. So I don't know. That didn't even seem that bad. Clearly, I agree with your mom. Taylor was just trying to have fun, and then everyone, even in what we saw, was still egging her on along the way, and so it's really awkward when there's this perception behind someone's back, and I'm sure we'll get into it along the way, but it's like, there's no way for her to know. It's not that she's not self-aware. She's just not aware of what she literally has no way of knowing because you won't tell her. So fun times.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we will talk through the episode, but I think that, you know, if you are seeing any of the response to this episode, you don't know why, you're like, I mean, it seemed like, you know, it seemed like Paloma was the villain. It seemed like Taylor was innocent for the most part. You know, you may have gotten that impression from this episode. I think that that was, for the most part, what they were going for. I mean, Paloma was getting evil music behind her. They clearly showed that Paloma was lying in the situation involving Taylor. However, I think that what they were trying to do was kind of cop out of the situation in the sense that they wanted to show, yes, look, Taylor is innocent here. Paloma is doing some stuff that people are believing in, you know, false things. And then so they can be like, oh yeah, see, we didn't make out Taylor to be the bad guy or anything. We say Taylor is sympathetic, but what they're not doing is showing the full extent to which Taylor has gone through a number of different things and all of the other things that were happening and being said about Taylor prior to these things happening. And they even fudged around with the order of operations here in terms of when the decision was made to nominate Taylor and why, including when she cried, they decided to shift around just to sort of make sure that it was all a little bit nice and tidy in terms of which is usually what they do. But in this particular instance, you're literally getting articles written about you. And, you know, like this is a big thing that's happening right now. And there's people that don't understand why. And it's difficult to explain. So I think it would have been considerably more responsible for the show to portray it in the way that it needed to be portrayed. I didn't expect it to happen, but I'm nonetheless disappointed that it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And along the way, like one of the things that just jumps out to me is we see her crying later on. And it's I think it's a little bit hard to understand like the weight of what she's experiencing in the house in that context. Like you're crying, but this is Big Brother. Like this is what happens. People are nominated. Are you upset that you're nominated and people are putting a target on you? Like what's mm-hmm. going on? And we need those gaps filled in so that we don't have people like don't come for me, but the Facebook comments going on she's being a crybaby or whatever we'll get from that. And so, you know, it's reality TV. It would be nice to get a little bit more of the reality in it.
Yeah, I feel like it's like they tried so hard to create like or to like have like a cohesive, easy to understand narrative of like, oh, this she said this and Paloma thought she was throwing her under the bus. So she, you know, made up this lie and said it never happened. And then Taylor, you know, that's just the way Big Brother goes. And now Taylor's sad because she's been nominated or she thinks she's going on the block or whatever. And then, you know, but it's not showing that it's not that like it's mm-hmm. not just, oh, this misunderstanding. Now Taylor's on the block. Now Taylor's crying because she thinks she's going home. Like it, there was way more to it than that. I understand why they like tried to make it more succinct. And because I do feel like there's a lot to it if we tried to incorporate everything, but I do feel like it did seem like the girls were all like, we should all work together as girls. And then Taylor
girls.
Like, I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to go talk to the boys because I don't really know if I want to do a girls versus boys thing. But the girls weren't even talking to her at that point. Like the girls already ostracizing her. They didn't want to work with her. That's like literally one conversation that they had with her. And I don't think they're doing a good enough job of showing that this ostracizing happened long before this whole misunderstanding. It wasn't the misunderstanding that was the catalyst. It was nothing that was the catalyst. You know, it just...
I think the biggest takeaway that I would give to somebody that has not been keeping up with the updates or the feeds or anything like that, and again, this is no spoilers. We're all talking entirely about the timeline that we have experienced in the show so far. On the show, they showed this conversation between Taylor and Monty talking about Paloma as the catalyst for Paloma to then spread it around that Taylor is lying. And then it got to Daniel and then Daniel decided to put her up because of that. In reality, by the time Monty asked Paloma about that conversation, Taylor was already going up on the block. That decision had already been made. You might ask, well, why? If not for that, because that's what they showed on the show. The dress situation is one of the reasons. And there are a bunch of other reasons that, again, would be too difficult to rehash yet again in this recap. They have been detailed extensively in the live feed updates and the roundtable and all of these different places if you are interested. But the basics of it all being that Taylor never had a chance. And in my eyes, the defining argument, the thing that really changed Daniel's mind, because he had been thinking about putting Indy on the block, the thing that ultimately seemed to shift his opinion was Pooch telling him, well, we know that that Taylor is going to blow up when she goes up on the block. And so would you rather have to deal with that for a whole week because people will be scared to do that? Or would you rather deal with it for just a couple days if you put her up post veto? And Daniel quoted that argument later in the night, and it was after that conversation that he seemed to change his tune and said to the cameras that he was leaning toward nominating Taylor. Obviously, Pooch is entirely absent from this episode, despite the fact that I did see him as, again, one of the biggest catalysts for the nomination in the first place. So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about when we mentioned that, like, they are definitely, you know, not showing some things that I think a lot of people would have liked to see, especially because trying to explain this to people who aren't watching or aren't paying close attention is very difficult. And when you say that Taylor's being treated unfairly, somebody who'd watched the episodes only, they may have gotten the sense that Taylor was innocent, but they might respond with, well, it's just a game. You know, she just didn't do it right. She shouldn't have trusted Monty, whatever it is. And it's going to be very difficult for that person to explain, like, well, no, there's a lot more to it that you just haven't seen. And that's the thing that frustrates me, because we and they should be better than that, considering that this is exactly what happened in Big Brother 21. And to this day, when people talk about Big Brother 21, it's, well, she didn't talk to the HOH. She must have done something. And that's a frustrating thing to experience, especially when people are watching after the fact. They don't have access to the feeds in real time because they're watching years from now. And this is, the thing that, is going to have to be like follow Taylor around for a long time if she's anywhere near this community. And so it's frustrating. And that's why I am one of the reasons why I am frustrated by this episode.
Also, I feel like his speech in the end, like, is going to be really confusing to people who are watching, like, because even if it's like she, like, told Monty that Paloma said that,
right,
what does she really have to, like, apologize for? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there wasn't really, like, that connection of, like, you need to make some apologies to people and what happened. So, like, are they going to sit there and, like, for the next episode, show her campaigning as her just, like, going around the house apologizing to everyone? Because, so, like, I mean, she has done that. So, like, is that what they're going to do, is just be like, oh, and now Taylor goes and apologizes and everyone says, like, you know, we're all good here. Like, it wasn't me who had a problem with you. It was someone else. And then everyone just says that. And then, oh, turns out there's no problem, actually, or whatever. It's like, I don't really know. I don't know where they're going with this edit. I mean, I'm hopeful that, and the other thing is, like, I started to question, like, what the edit was going for, because, like, at first I was like, oh, they're trying to show, because they kept flashing back to, like, Paloma saying that. And I was like, oh, okay, they're trying to show Paloma's lying. But then Paloma had a DR saying, like, I can't believe she'd do this. Then Jasmine has a DR she was there in the conversation saying, I can't believe she would lie about Paloma. So then it's like, wait, so she, are we supposed to think she did actually lie, or, like, that Paloma was said something else, or that, like, she misconstrued her words? Because Jasmine was in the conversation. So, like, if Jasmine thinks she lied, then, like, I don't know. And then it was like, you know, Amira being like, well, hopefully, like, Paloma's telling the truth. But it doesn't really, like, there's no DR of, like, Paloma being like, look, I know I said these things, but I got to protect myself or something like that. So that's why I'm very curious to see, you know, what my mom thinks and my dad while they're watching the episode, because I even kind of was like, what are they going for here? So I don't know.
I think that's a great point. And the other thing, just in the maybe like stepping back a little bit from what happened in the episode itself, but thinking about the gaps, is that it says a lot about kind of who they're looking to protect in this case. Like, I think that it's important, especially in a game like Big Brother, maybe for producers and editors to be thoughtful about like how, what they're sharing, because we don't have the same benefit as Survivor when it comes to like them saying, hey, that looks really bad, but this is going to be in there. If there was something that was so horrible, and you know, like we've in Survivor podcasts, we've talked about instances like that that have happened, that have aired. In this case, I mean, it's tough because it, them not showing what actually happened, one, I mean, to be selfish for a little bit, puts us in an awkward position where we're like screaming like, this is what's going on in the house. And, you know, thankfully people listen to and believe what we're saying in the live feeds and what's shown. But the other thing is it puts Taylor in a horrible position first and foremost, where if she leaves the house, like you both were saying, like this will follow her along the way and be something that she has to carry. And so they protected Paloma and stayed away from some of the controversy that would come up in the case. And actually, I guess protected a lot of people in the house. But kind of threw Taylor under the bus, and it's really sad to see, because I don't know how she's gonna be able to deal with that. I mean, it happened, so it's not like they could go back and say, oh well, actually this isn't what happened in the Big Brother house, because they established that narrative and it is what it is. They're not going to change that going forward. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Frustrating stuff, but let's talk a little more about the episode itself. We did see early on the Taylor fashion show, we saw that the reaction to the Taylor fashion show seemed to be very different between the men and the women. The men seemed to respond with, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the women seem to respond with wow, flaunting, eh?
But it's weird too, because I think it was Jasmine even who's like, yeah, like do it, like they all seemed like they were encouraging her along the way and she was just going with it. And then you have the DRs, of course, where it's like, oh, I don't know about that, that's a bad choice, you should be more self-aware. So again, it's odd. It must be a really odd situation when it seems like everyone's like really egging you on to do this thing. Like, did Taylor feel like, look, she's in the Big Brother house, it's her summer off from being this beauty queen, future Miss America probably, but at the same time, like, she's working for them. She was walking the catwalk in the Big Brother house. They should have paid her. They should have tipped her in the moment. Instead, we see her almost on the verge of being kicked out of the house, allegedly in the narrative of the episode, because of doing that. So it odd, again, that trying on clothes could lead to such a strong reaction, at least in the narrative they were giving us.
Plus, think about it. If she were to have said no,
right,
and been like, everyone's like, come on, try on the outfits. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's like, mm-hmm. First of all, they would be like, oh, okay. So now she's like not going to have any fun. She just like thinks she's better than us because she doesn't want to do a little fashion show when we ask her to. So you get that. Or you get her saying like, no, like I don't want to do that because it would like make you guys feel bad. And then it's like, oh, so now she thinks she's better than us because she's thinking, well, we're going to feel bad. It's fat shaming or whatever. And it's like, she literally can't win. She either tries on the outfits because they ask her to, or says, no, I'm not going to try on the outfits. And then seems like a poor sport. Like, I don't think there was any good situation there. Like, I don't know. There's no winning for Taylor in any of this.
Well, as you can see, I decided to flaunt tonight. You see this finale outfit that I'm wearing.
Yes, Mr. Big Brother, get it.
Wow, you're looking so good right now, Taryn. Yeah, I love the finale outfit. Oh my God. Matt,
hopefully you don't vote me out.
Can you believe that Taryn, like, he thinks he like is gonna be on the finale. Rob takes the finale podcast. Like, that's not a Taryn podcast. Like, he can guest on it maybe, but like,
he's doing it for attention.
He's
as always.
Not a podcaster's podcaster.
No, come on.
I'm sure Melissa, you've experienced this a lot, that you know, when you see another woman dressed up in an outfit, you think,
well, like, honestly, if I see another woman literally wearing clothes, I'm like, okay, that's total lack of self-awareness.
Like, what are you thinking?
Like, take off those clothes.
Yeah.
You can't win. I don't think that's going to work either.
Yeah, I don't think that works.
So we pretty quickly get to the veto competition. Of course, the lead up to the veto competition includes WWJD. Mm-hmm. What would Janelle do?
Yes, that's really the question. I mean, I don't know why that's not more of a thing in Big Brother. That should be like the question for everyone, every veto. Mm-hmm. They should have a statue of Janelle like in the backyard at all times during each and every veto competition. I loved this. I appreciate this from Michael. It was like bringing fun and lightness into the Big Brother house and a lot of what we've been talking about. And I love his approach of this kind of like positive psychology of like, I could do this. I just need to tell myself I'm going to win. And I believe in that stuff. So I don't know if that helped him get that one extra ring at the end, but I don't think it hurt.
I mean, if you're going to ask what any former player would do in a situation where they need to win a competition, I think asking what Janelle would do is definitely the best call.
Right.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
Win and flaunt it. Yeah, I'm surprised nobody talked about the skip,
I was
considering
say,
all the flaunt discussion.
It was giving me like part Janelle, part Rachel Riley with the veto. But hey, I guess skipping is allowed. Wearing clothes is not allowed in the house.
Mm. Yeah, can't wear clothes. Yeah. No, I loved Michael in this. I thought that, I mean, I was rooting for him to win. You know, you bring up Janelle, obviously you're going to get some points from people. I did not like how Daniel in the DR was like, super fan versus super fan. Like, why would you be trying to get out a fellow super fan? Like, I feel like that's someone that you'd want to work with. Like, you could, I don't see why it's like, there can only be one super fan here. Like, I don't see why that would be a thing. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't like it. It's like, you should be lifting other super fans up. Why would you want a super fan to be the first one out? You wouldn't want to be the first one out as a super fan going into the house. Like, come on. Like, it irritates me, because if I went into the house and someone else was a super fan and we knew each other were super fans, I'd be like, oh, awesome, another super fan. I wouldn't be like, oh, like, I got to get this super fan out. And I'd be pissed if they tried to get me out. So, you know, I don't like it. It's a bad anti-super fan attitude.
But that's because you're a super fan, super fan. And not everyone is. Daniel is not a super fan, super fan.
He's a casual super fan.
He's a casual super fan.
I do appreciate that he gave Michael respect, called him Sir Super Fan, which is, that probably helps. Also, I was under the impression that with the festival theme, we were going for more of a Coachella type of vibe.
Not a Renaissance festival.
Not a Renaissance festival. Yeah.
No. And then
I do feel like Kyle's outfit didn't make any sense with Renaissance, right? Like, that's not a Renaissance outfit. That seemed like what is it? Like an English aristocracy, but like during the time of like the revolution.
I wouldn't know the difference, Melissa, to be honest. So,
like, it didn't look like Renaissance to me. Like, he didn't look like a king or something. He looked like he was like during the revolution. I don't know.
Maybe this was like going for like music festival, but with a medieval times type of theme, you know, like it was, they're like, no, this is definitely not the Renaissance fair. This is like us just pretending that we're doing the Renaissance fair, but actually at a music festival. Like, I don't understand. Again, I was looking for Coachella. I thought that there'd be like raves and other stuff.
They still might.
I don't know.
I feel like they, I mean, I think that the theme would have worked better for me if it was like each, and they probably would have forgotten about this after like the first week, but whatever. I think if like week by week, it was a different festival like type. Mm. And then like during that festival, during that week or whatever, each competition is themed for that. They have various like little things throughout the week, like that are themed with that, either like decorating the house a certain way or like, you know, making right. them do little tasks or something related to it, rather than just like, oh, the theme is general festival and there might be a few festival things, or you might be able to like be like, I think that's part of a festival. But it would be a lot more cohesive if each week there was a different festival theme.
Is the what is it, the fire festival? Yeah. Is the
that would be one of them.
Is just you go out to an empty backyard and whoever decides to just give it up and head inside first is the winner of the competition. They realize that there was actually nothing there.
All they have to eat for the whole week is just little like pieces of bread with a piece of American cheese on it, and that's it.
Honestly, it works.
Some cheese and some mayo, and bam, you've got just enough for Paloma's diet.
Oh my gosh. This is all, it's all ridiculous though, because literally anything could be a festival theme. Everything could have a festival. That's like what?
Podcast what festival, festival podcast theme. Festival. It's we're having a festival tonight, everyone. It's time to festival.
Yes, get ready for a festival. Yes.
Get ready for a festival. Yeah, they forget about it after like week one.
Yes. Well, Michael is here to win a veto. That's what he says, right?
I have to keep reminding myself that I'm just here for the veto.
See what he did there?
Okay, I get it now, but I literally did not understand what he was
saying. I did not hear that.
I didn't get that joke. I was like, what did he say he was here for something else? I thought it was like, I'm such an idiot. I thought the reference was like he wanted to like hit Michael or hit Daniel with the jousting stick. And he's like, but I have to remember, it's just the veto that I want, not to like murder Michael or murder Daniel.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought like he was like, he had just like talked about Daniel and they had just been like, they're going against each other. And then I thought.
I think it would not work out too well. You'd be a little impotent trying to use a floppy lance to murder.
We weren't going to be talking floppy lances anymore.
What, you're not a fan of floppy lances?
No.
But Terrence told me.
And let me tell you, nobody likes a floppy jousting lance.
Oh, nobody likes a floppy jousting lance. Oh,
maybe
man.
They don't like it.
I mean, look. I don't know. It was hard with the floppy lance to like get it into the
hole. No, it wasn't hard.
Yeah, the opposite.
That was a Freudian slip. It was not hard. Oh my gosh. rough times. Like this was, I think Big Brother designed all of this. They're like, we need to figure out the festival theme just to have those little rings. Like it was all for that and all for the floppy jokes. And then also kind of sad too. They couldn't like make a really sturdy pole and just have them use that and put that through.
Also, when it was like, when it like literally that you would think someone had it and then it would just be so sad, especially like Terrence or someone, when it was just like all of a sudden all the rings would fall off and it was like, oh God, this poor guy.
Yeah.
Very sad.
I mean, it's no wonder that, that Indy did well, right? Trying to be a sex coach.
Like, I was gonna say, like, I don't know where this is going. I don't know if I want to say yes.
It's like no comment.
Yeah, no comment, Taryn. No comment.
What I really want to isolate the sound at the end of this clip.
And let me tell you, nobody likes a floppy jousting lance.
Oh my gosh. Again, not the sounds you hear at the floppy jousting lance, but whatever.
Yeah. They don't know the right sound.
Yeah. So ultimately we see a very close matchup between Michael and Amira at the end here. It comes down to the wire, and Michael, he again asks, what would Janelle do? and she would win. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And he did.
By one right.
Good
and
for
I
him.
I like how he thanked her first and foremost, and then his fiance. Like that, you have your priorities in order. The good news is Janelle's probably well, maybe she's tweeting about it already. So that's the good thing. But I don't know how that's going to work when you get home, Michael. That might not be great. She's probably like flip the order around a little bit for things to be comfy at home. But
this was a fun moment. I loved seeing the emotion for Michael. Not only does he save himself here, but he also now has something like on his resume to prove to other players that he has value in the game. You know, we saw a segment of him just kind of like going around to different people who are all just kind of like, do I want to play for you? Not really. So it's a big moment for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I respect him going around and like feeling it out. And I'm glad that things worked out the way that they did for him. But, it doesn't seem like a great situation when you ask people for their support and they're like, non-committal, because then they really don't need to use the veto on you if they win. That was obviously we didn't have to get there, but I just thought that was interesting that he was surrounded by a handful of people who would not use the veto on him, which was very, I mean, maybe he had that idea. And he did say as much in the episode, which is interesting. So he knew he had to win.
Yeah, and this was a good showing for Michael with the casuals as well. My mom says, go Michael on the challenge. The HOH is arrogant. Michael is humble and genuine. Michael wins the battle against Daniel. Ha ha. Yay, I can't believe it. And then she says, shoot, Amira and Michael are tied. I'm nervous. Still tied. Ugh, go Michael. Michael won. Woohoo. I don't mean to be partisan. So Michael had a very good showing. So I think the casuals are really liking him. Mm-hmm. So.
Just I hope your mom's ready for everyone in the comments to call her biased. Yeah, biased commentary? What?
Drag Melissa's mom.
Drag her, everybody.
Yeah.
No, please don't drag my mom.
Oh boy. Well. Michael has won the veto, and we get what is probably the seventh eye roll from Paloma to Taylor after this moment.
Of course, my lady.
Joseph saying, of course, my lady, to Taylor. Grapes were being fed, and we get Paloma like a...
Yeah, she did not like that. She gave a little stink face.
I'm the lady's lady.
So guys shouldn't be around, be interested in the other ladies because I'm a ladies lady.
I would say let's not look for the logic.
Oh God, not again.
Ladies, honestly, doesn't
sound good.
The whole girl thing is very frustrating because she... It's been co-opted, I feel, because, you know, being a girl's girl doesn't mean that you're just like a bully, mean girl who isolates other girls. Like, it's just, it doesn't really mean anything, to be honest, but like, everyone should be, everybody's everybody, and no one should be like for one thing or for the other. And, you know, now it feels like if I hear anyone say, I'm a girl's girl, I'll be like, oh my God, I need to stay away because that's clearly, you know, indicative of you like bullying me. So I don't know. It feels wrong. Like it feels like they're using this like false, like women's empowerment, thing as a shield to then tear down other women. Like you can't be for women's empowerment while also tearing down other women. Like strong women don't tear down other women. They support other women. Like it feels wrong and nasty. And it just feels like the whole thing has been co-opted. I don't like it.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of where I'm like, wait, so let me get this straight. This is the girls, girls alliance, but you're going to take out one of the other women.
Right.
First, And you also have another woman who's not part of the alliance, who knows, might be taken up next. I don't know. It's odd. It doesn't really add up, but I think that's kind of, I mean, at least that's the nice thing. Like when we interrogate it like a little bit, it kind of falls apart, but actually it definitely falls apart. But yeah, that's jumped out to me. Like, and Taylor was spot on, really just pointing out how the gender paranoia in the house is really ridiculous not even less than a week into the house, like a few days into the house, when you have the ability to form relationships and establish them from the beginning. Like, this is the game. Play the game. Don't just fall in the, you know, just don't just go with what you assume is going to happen, because nobody has these relationships already from the beginning. But I feel like it's all excuses to take out Taylor, whatever it takes.
Right. And I feel like it's like, I totally understand if they're like, we want a girls alliance because we want a girl to get to the end. But like, some of the girls aren't going to be in the alliance. Like, I get that, because you can't have everybody in the house all the girls in the house in your alliance necessarily. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. But the idea that you would then immediately start targeting the other girls, like before any of the guys, like, that's where it gets confusing to me. Like, if you're all about like, we want a woman to win, like women's empowerment, blah, 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 then maybe like try and get the guys out first. Like, don't immediately go after a girl as your first target. It just like doesn't work for me.
Well, yeah. And this is another thing that the edit is doing a disservice to, right? Because the reality is that the Girls Alliance was trying to get out a guy. They were trying to get Daniel to target Joseph. They ultimately failed and settled for Taylor, who was not in the Girls Alliance, and that they were. But they had specifically, Paloma in particular, had talked about, like, let's not go too hard on Taylor, because we actually don't want Taylor to be targeted, because we don't want a woman to be targeted. However, once Paloma ultimately flipped when the Monty information came in, and of course also like when Daniel was like, it's between Indy and Taylor, and the Joseph thing is a no go, they were all like, well, yes, absolutely, Taylor. But the reality is that it was actually the guys that pushed Taylor onto Daniel and convinced Daniel to do Taylor more so than the women. Now, you could definitely say that the women played a huge role in it with all the way that they treated Taylor previous to that. And they certainly didn't fight for Taylor. They really just stomped on the grave as much as possible. But that's another just sort of like thing that will likely get lost to time, is that people will probably remember this as Paloma getting Taylor out because that's how they showed it, when that really wasn't what happened either. So it's just another reason why these edits are unfortunate.
It's funny because, wasn't Turner the first person to, like, propose the Taylor thing?
Yeah, Turner, having discussed it with the guys, was the emissary, the messenger to say you should target Taylor. And then again, I think it wasn't until the conversation with Pooch, because after Turner proposed it, Daniel was still saying, I'm leaning Indy. But then after talking to Pooch and discussing the fact that one of the things they discussed was that, only a couple days to deal with her on the block. He decided, okay, well, in that case, we'll go with Taylor. And he was ultimately convinced. Another big part of convincing was the conversation with Monty, where he brought up the dress situation and many other things. So, yes, it's quite unfortunate. But here we are. Michael with the veto. Daniel's going to have to come up with another nominee, and we are going to get the backstory here of the women, the girls talking about the guys, and now I'm just gonna say the word twice no matter what. Girls mm-hmm. guys haha. Girls are talking about the guys, and Taylor walks in, she hears a little bit of it, and she goes to Monty and she says, hey Monty, the girls are talking about the guys, and if you are a guy, so maybe you might want to talk to some of the girls and get this sorted out. Man, does it sound childish when you continue to say girls and guys, right? So this situation, of course, leads straight to Monty then going to Paloma and asking, hey, Paloma, Taylor is saying that you were going to go after the guys. Is this true? Paloma says, no, it's not true at all. We then immediately flash back to what we just saw in the same segment just a couple of seconds ago to confirm, yes, in fact, she did say that. Just like that, Joseph says, well, I don't know what to believe, but Paloma was denying these allegations with fervor. So I think I believe her.
That's what it takes, you know, denial, right, Melissa?
It's like, what is she going to do? Like, not deny? I feel like when you're denying it that hard, that makes me think that you're guilty. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, if she was really telling the truth here, she should have been like, let's talk to Taylor right now.
Right.
And sort this out, because I didn't say that. So clearly something has happened here. There's clearly some miscommunication because I didn't say that. Let's bring Taylor in. And instead she's like, let's not like say anything to Taylor, cause like we don't want her to like blow up. So let's wait until later. And it's like, that would make me feel like, okay, wait, why are we waiting though? Cause if we bring this up to her now, we can like get to the bottom of this. And then we can explain like, okay, well, because you lied, you're going on the block. Like I don't know. I wouldn't believe Paloma, but I mean, I don't know.
I just like that he referred to it as the allegations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a little intense. But you know,
he's
will say
a lawyer.
It's true. Very official terms. Thank you.
Sometimes you forget. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Very good at hiding the fact that he's a lawyer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely forgot for a minute, but it's hard because like, okay, we see Monty hear this information from Taylor and then goes and talks with Paloma. Where's the part where you go back and talk with Taylor? Like where are we getting that? And there's a lot in this episode of people talking about Taylor in many instances and not with her. And I'm like, they did cut to a shot of Taylor eating yogurt during that segment when Monty and Paloma were talking. But I'm like, where's Taylor? Mm-hmm. What's she doing? Talk with her, bring her in, blow it up, call a house meeting. I don't know if you're so upset, but I don't think anyone wanted to actually find out the truth in this instance. They have their target and that works for everyone because it means everyone else is safe if she's the one who's going home.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem is that, yeah, they were busy talking about her and instead of watching her eat yogurt, because if they'd seen her eat yogurt, they would have known. Good people.
They would have been pissed. They would have been pissed at that. Like, come on, how dare she eat yogurt? And it looks like
plain yogurt?
No,
who do you think you are?
Yeah, okay.
There's no way it was plain, Taryn. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, how dare you? Oh, Taryn, thinking it's
okay, never. Sorry. Like, flavored yogurt? Who do you think you are? You're better than plain? Is that it?
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like I sort of understand where they're coming from when it's like, oh, they hear that someone was spreading rumors and telling a lie and it's the first week and like, oh, well, there's our reason. There we have it. We don't even need to ask questions. We don't need to do anything. Like, this person lied. Like, the easiest route forward is everybody's saying that they want this person out, that they are a liar. So like, I'm doing a good thing for the house and for me and for everybody involved by putting this person on the block and we're sending them home. Like, I can understand where Daniel is coming from when he's thinking that, but at the same time, it's like, it's very frustrating I think like on the part of Daniel and as a viewer, like it's frustrating because we know that these other people aren't working with Daniel. Like he's kept out of these big alliances. It would be much better for his game to target somebody else and keep Taylor around. And Taylor even mentions that in one of her DRs, like, I would have worked with Daniel. And I feel like he had just been, I mean, he even said it himself. He had just been like, you know, getting to know her and kind of like, he likes like cracking that nut or whatever. And like really like opening, she was opening up and they were really like bonding. And that's why in the beginning of the week, he had said like, I don't want to nominate Taylor. And that's what he had said. And then the second everybody says nominate Taylor, he's like, okay, whatever you guys want. So it is frustrating because it's like from an outside perspective, Taylor would have worked with him. She really liked him and she could have been a strong ally for him. And he's going to struggle moving forward in this game because he doesn't have those big alliances. He doesn't have the solid structure. Even though he was first HOH, he squandered it.
Yes.
May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So what we see is this spreads like wildfire as everybody is being informed of what Taylor did. She lied. Oh, no. And we know that she didn't lie. And that leads us to, I think, my favorite moment in the episode, which was Monty talking about Taylor and saying that, you know, she tried to lie to him on camera. And he says this to Paloma, the person that actually lied to him.
The footage is there. How do you think you're going to get away with telling me a lie on camera?
Yeah.
On camera. How do you think you're going to get away with that, Paloma? How does Taylor think she's going to get away with telling me a lie, Paloma? On camera, the footage is there.
See, he missed the part where he's not in production, so he's not able to go like check the footage and everything else. That was like the one gap I would say in his
life. Just a small little misstep is that he's not actually watching that footage.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't actually see it.
Small detail, yes.
Like, why does Monty trust Paloma so much that, like, when someone gives him a heads up, like a warning, that he just completely dismisses it out of hand as a lie and doesn't even want to, you know, look into it or do anything? He just immediately trusts Paloma.
I think it's twofold, well, multifold. But you know, one is that this image of her that's already been painted, right? She's already a house outcast. Paloma is the darling of the house. Everybody loves Paloma. Everybody hates Taylor. Everybody's saying bad things about Taylor. So you're a lot more inclined to believe Paloma from jump. And then in addition to that, you have no incentive to try to believe Taylor if you've already been trying to get her on the block. Everybody's been trying to. That's what your alliance members were doing. It's not you that's going on the block. So there's very little incentive to investigate what the truth actually is. If you can just like scapegoat a person. And I think those are two like big factors for why, you know, it comes across this way, right? That he doesn't even want to look into the potential innocence of Taylor. He wants it to be Paloma that's telling him the truth. It's a much more convenient truth for him.
Yeah.
I just want him to find out. I just want him to see what actually happened. I want him to know already. Maybe he'll be out of the house next and then we'll be able to tell him.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, who knows? Yeah, I mean,
thing is, you know, what he will do is he will say, you know, I thought that might be the case. You know, I think it was a little bit of a misunderstanding. And, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, Taylor, she was fine with it. And, you know,
and like, oh, yeah, we worked it out because she apologized to me. So we're all exactly like he'll literally use that and be like, oh, she apologized for not communicating it properly to me. Like, the fact that, I don't know, whatever.
And you know, hopefully with more context, and I hope this for everybody that goes through this experience, that hopefully with more context, they are able to actually own up to their mistakes and apologize. I think in the house, we will not see Monty oh, I got it wrong. Oh, boy.
No, but it's rough again, considering that we only see so much in the episodes that we're getting Monty like aggressively pushing back against Taylor in this case. And it's so frustrating as a black man to have heard the line, as a black man, I was forced to do that because of her actions. And it's like, do we have to go there, especially without the context of like, what are her actions other than in this episode, other than allegedly lying about something that she didn't even lie about? She was trying to give you information and you can't even loop back and have a conversation with her. If you wanted to keep her, if you wanted to protect her, you could have. But that's it's like just the excuses pile up and they're piling up more and more and more as this week goes along and as the episode goes along.
Yeah. So as an update from my mom, she had said, she asked about who's the backstage girl with the not a girl's girl's comment. She forgot her name again. And so I said, you mean Paloma? And she's like, yes, not liking her. She's against Taylor. Not okay. And then she says, why are they backstabbing Taylor? What did she do? It's too petty. Paloma, ew. And then says, dad thinks the boys are doing well by splitting up the girls. Don't understand why Paloma is making such an effort to point the finger at Taylor. Dad says Taylor's error was trying to align herself with the boys, and the girls didn't like that. I feel so sorry for Taylor. Obnoxious veto meeting by the HOH. So annoying. Do not like Paloma. And then I asked her, like, general thoughts on the situation. Like, who do you think's telling the truth? Who's lying? And I'd like dad's perspective, too. So apparently my mom seems to understand what's going on. My dad is getting, like, so I think it's divided a little bit in terms of, like, what the casuals are thinking. Because my mom says, I believe Taylor and Michael. They appear to be the heroes. Although dad said Taylor should not have worn the sequin dress and pranced around like a beauty queen because the girls got jealous.
She is literally a beauty queen, dad. Dad, not voice of the people.
I'm with your mom. She prance around like a beauty queen because she is a beauty queen. So, of course, she's just going to be herself. No, but yeah, I think like, so I do think there is that vibe of like, well, she did bring this on herself by like trying to align with the boys. Because it does seem kind of like she was in the conversation with the girls, was like, well, I don't really want to do a girls versus guys thing. Immediately, quote unquote, in the episode, goes to Monty and it's like, hey, watch out for the girls. They're worried about you. So it does appear that it's like, oh, okay. So she is, while she is telling the truth, she did like turn on the girls to go with the guys. And now this has happened, you know? So it's not great, but I do think that like people do know from the episode that Paloma lied, or that Paloma did say that Taylor wasn't lying. And then Paloma then did deny that she said that. And I asked my mom if there's any other standout characters. She said, no, not really. So that's all she gets. That's all she gets
from. That sounds exactly what I would have expected given what they showed, given the context of what they were showing, that for the most part, Paloma and Squad are made out to be the villains, but as I said at the top of the podcast, I could absolutely see why people only watching the show might come away with the message, because I think this was kind of the message that, well, she did kind of make a mistake here. You know, like she could have done better here. Like she could have made a different choice. And that's where the frustration sets in, because we know, because of all of the context, that she never really had a choice and she never really had a chance. That's a perfect example. Perfect example. Mm-hmm. I like what your mom said about the veto ceremony, though.
Yes, I did like that she said that was obnoxious. So I'm glad that it wasn't like, well, she really should apologize. You know, like I am glad that it was like, that's uncalled for. So I mean, because it was, and it was really not cool to watch that. I mean, also, like, he tries to paint him. He starts off the meeting like, I have nothing against you. Like, I got along with you fine, but you've rubbed some people the wrong way, and maybe this is your chance to apologize. It's like, if she hasn't done anything to you, like, maybe just be like, hey, I don't have an issue, but other people have come to me and said that, you know, they want you on the block, and it's the first week I'm going to do what the house wants. Boom, done. End it that way. Don't be like, and now you can apologize and like, you know, make up for this. It's like, yeah, that last little dig was too far.
I still wonder what people like your dad, Melissa, think that she like, what in the world would she apologize for? Like, I'm confused. I'm thrown off. She was literally, again, she was just doing what she does. She has her outfits. They were encouraging her to the point where it's like, oh, go out there. Like, let's turn it into a fashion show. And I can't wrap my head around it, but I think it's because she doesn't have to apologize for anything. And I wish that it was easier for Taylor to see that she didn't have anything to apologize for. But, you know, that's, I guess that's life.
Yeah, and well, just like what for a guy that's all about vibing with the homies. Like, what was the vibe of that veto speech? Like, So my replacement nominee is Taylor. I have nothing against you personally, but you have done some things that you need to apologize for. And it's like,
dad vibes. Totally.
Chill.
Yeah.
It was just so weird.
Yeah. But it's weird. But then I guess it's just okay. Like that, like everyone was so in on Taylor being out that it's just like, you could get away with that. And it's bizarre. It's very bizarre to be that aggressive. You don't even have to say any of that. You don't need to, you know, be the authority figure. Like, you need to apologize. Go to your room. You know, she really could have been a lot more chill about it or made up some other horrible excuse. But I mean, I think that just speaks to Daniel's game.
Yeah. So that's the episode. We did get Michael reminding everyone that the backstagers are not safe. You saw their reaction in the ceremony. They are a little bit worried. And that's about the episode. Anything else from the episode that we should bring up before we talk a little bit about the feeds?
Nothing. Really?
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, that's what we have for the episode then. Thank you all for joining us if you're going to leave now. But it's time to talk about some spoilers. What's been happening on the feeds? Let's get into it. Oh.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right.
All right.
What's been happening on the feeds? Taylor was nominated as the replacement nominee and Target. Has anything changed? Does she have a chance? Is there really much to update you on?
Come on.
The answers to all of those questions are no.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, there's really not like the spoiler section is really just an extension of the previous bit. There's not much like there are alliances that we could talk to you about. But like. It's not an update on like it's not going to be useful to you. Like if you care about the alliances, you'd just be listening to the other part. Like there's no obviously Taylor is the target. She still is the target. That's the bit. We still don't know anything about backstage. We don't know what's going to happen there. That's really her only chance of staying at this point. I guess maybe the main thing is that Taylor's campaign has primarily been she knows she's a goner against Terrence. She also knows that Brittany has really screwed up. I guess we can give you a quick update on that, that Brittany in the Girls Alliance decided to rat the girls out, particularly Amira, to Pooch in the hopes that if Pooch has some kind of power over the backstage situation, he might choose to save her. So he told Pooch that Amira wanted to target him. Pooch immediately told Amira, and now Brittany has been sort of shadow banned from the Girls Alliance. Mm-hmm. They all know that she ratted them out. They're all pissed, but they have not informed her that she's not in the Alliance anymore. And so because of that, Taylor has recognized that being on the block against Brittany at the end of the week is her best chance of staying in the game. And she has started to try to campaign against that in any way. Campaign for that situation in any way that she can. It genuinely likely is her best chance of staying via a vote. But as we all know or suspect, it's probably all going to be for naught anyway, because Brittany is probably the most likely person to be saved by the America's Vote. Yeah. So kind of useless information, but
yeah. And I mean, at this point too, like if anything would have changed, like if you would have told me like everything's turned around, everyone wants to keep Taylor, Terrence is going out. But actually it's going to be Paloma because of the twist. Like we know this now. I don't know. Like that would have been horrible. Like at this point, they've dug such a deep grave with Taylor that it's like, maybe in most of the house, but I mean, I don't think Taylor it has a vindictive bone in her body to do something about it. But at this point, it's like, just let her go, because this is a very, this is just not fun for any of us to watch. Again, selfishly for us, but also like you have so much egg on your face at this point. If you're Paloma, or if you're someone who's aggressively pushed against her, that she's got to go. Like you've passed the point of no return.
Yeah. Really, the only other major thing going on at the moment is that if you've only been watching the episodes, you've seen Paloma as the main character, as the primary driver of strategy in the house. Mm-hmm. She's even gotten the final diary room session, both episodes in a row, 2 and 3. We've been making bets on that during the Twitch streams. That could change, maybe not being a prominent focus of the episode. She probably will still have a presence because of what's been happening, but strategically she has definitely started to take a back seat because she is just talking a lot about being in a simulation. Right. She has been going off on these rants and people are starting to be concerned for her health. And I think the sort of like the biggest clue that something might actually be wrong is that, especially today on the feeds, they're being very careful about showing her on the feeds. It seems as though they're trying to avoid. We're not seeing a lot of Paloma. She's been in the diary room a lot. So it seems like there's definitely been some checking in on Paloma. Is she okay? You know, obviously, again, we don't want to speculate too far in terms of what's going on, but there is something seemingly perhaps going on, and we may find out, you know, if it's going to be resolved or if it's going to be something that continues. But the takeaway should be that strategically she has definitely sort of been taking that backseat and not driving the strategy quite as much as she had been in the time period that the episodes have been airing so far.
Yeah, I think for me at least, watching her in the episode, like having conversations, it was very apparent that her current method of having conversations with people is very, very different from the type of speaking and conversations that she had just a few days ago. And, you know, I hadn't really noticed that because I always knew that she did talk very fast and it was kind of just like, sometimes like all over the place when she was talking, just because she's very energetic and was very talkative. But it did seem like they were more focused in the first few days. Now I do feel like they're way more all over the place. So it does seem a little different than how she used to behave. And because I was just thinking like, well, maybe she's always been this kind of, because she does talk a lot. She is kind of, you know, enthusiastic when she's talking. And so I thought like, oh, maybe we're just like thinking that this is different and we're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. But I get that it's like an edited show. So like, it's not exactly how she is on the feeds, but it is, you know, it was reminiscent of what we had seen. And, you know, you could kind of get the sense that there is a difference now between like the way she's behaving now and the way she was behaving then, whether that's just lack of sleep or whatever, like who knows, but there's a difference for sure.
Yeah.
And it's tough too, because I mean, Taryn, earlier today, you were talking with Rob and with Azza, and you know, one of the themes that comes up so often in these conversations with former players is like mental health and how challenging it could be in the game. And I, like, again, we don't want to speculate on what might be going on exactly, but the last thing that she probably needs is the pile on, which can happen in this community and on social media. And so, you know, obviously we want what's best for her, but it's scary to watch an uncertain situation like that unfold. And then you mentioned cutting away from her in terms of the feeds and her being in the DR. And so hopefully they have the situation under control and she's like, in whatever happens is for the highest good, so to speak, for Paloma and for everyone in the house.
And to be fair, I guess people found some of her old tweets and she talked a lot about the simulation back then. So like, it might just be like, she does believe we're all in a simulation and that's just like, we're all thinking like, this is wild. But really that's just like, no, we're in a simulation. Like, it's guys, just chill out. Like, that's her thing. So I don't know. I'm seeing in the chat those were fake. I don't know if they're real or fake, but I did think it was really funny that, like, maybe she was always, like, thinking that we're in a simulation. And it's not just the Big Brother house that's a simulation, but it's everything. So I don't know. Who knows?
All right. That's again, really not much to update beyond that. I definitely would recommend that everyone check out the Roundtable podcast that we did last night if you want a detailed overview of where the house stands, and again, more talk about the specifics of what's going on with Taylor. We went into it all there, as well as went into, of course, every player, gave them ratings and all of that good stuff. So check that out if you want to hear more. Anything else, though, that we should bring up in this podcast from the feeds? Are we about to burst out into song?
And one, and two. No, I'm just very excited to see what happens tomorrow. I have no clue what's going to go on with the backstage twist. So I really don't know what's going to happen. And I do want to say that I did bring this up previously, and I would like to do it, which is like have a, like in the middle of the season, just have like a quick like audio podcast or whatever with my mom and dad, and just like bring them on to like talk about what they think is going on and who they like and who they don't like. They did not want to do video. So I said, no video. We can just do audio. So like, I would like to still do that. And it seems like people are already enjoying their comments and their commentary. So I'm still thinking about doing that. So,
oh my gosh, that's going to be thrilling. If who knows if that
happens. Yeah. So that's the current plan, is to do it like midway through the season, I think. And then maybe like one at the end if it works out.
There you go. Well, of course, as Matt mentioned earlier, we did have an interview with Azza that took place earlier today. It was live for the patrons, but it is now out on YouTube, and I'm sure in the podcast feed for everyone if you want to check it out. I thought Azza was fantastic, so you can go and hear what she has to say. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update on everything that's happening here today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds tomorrow night. I'll be live on Twitch watching the eviction episode with all of you. We've been doing these prediction things in the chat. It's very fun. I'm sure there'll be lots to try and predict in terms of the twist and everything tomorrow night. So tune in as we watch live over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And then, of course, after the episode, we'll be live here to recap all of it here on Rob as a podcast. And then on Friday, I'll be live with Rob again in the patron group to do the Q&A, the Big Brother Q&A. Those are always a lot of fun. You can jump on a call with us and ask us a question, and we will do our best to answer. So those are always a lot of fun. Matt, what have you got going on?
Yeah, so you could find me over on the Wrestling Wrap Up talking about professional wrestling. We actually had an episode this past week with a couple of casual/non-fan. So if you're not a wrestling fan, that's a great episode to listen to of the Wrestling Wrap Up with my co-host, Mari Forth, who, Taryn, you stole from me for the live feed update today, but that's okay. I understand. Mari, enough Mari to go around. And so the Wrestling Wrap Up, you can check that out at robhaswebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. Other RHP podcasts, we actually just wrapped The Pride Has Spoken in June, which was all about Survivor and LGBTQ plus representation with Dr. Evie Jagoda and Grace Leader. So if you are a Survivor fan and missing some Survivor content, check that out at robhaswebsite.com/pridefeed. Pod Friends, interviewing podcasters in this RHAP universe, is amazing. And actually, the next episode's coming out on Sunday with the one and only Shannon Gus. And so again, if you're missing Survivor, it gets mentioned there. And also if you're missing Survivor, so if you're tired of the Big Brother season already, I was on this live reality game, Survivor Philly. Maybe some people heard the first one. Bryce and Wendell were part of it, and some other members of the community were part of that. And so follow me at Matt Scott GW on social media, and check out the link in bio for links to all of those things. But that's what I've got going on.
There you go. And we also are going to, we will have an exit interview with the first player evicted. That will be on Tuesday of next week. That is going to be the time scheduled for the exit interview, but we will have one. It will just be over on Tuesday. So you can check that out. And Melissa, of course, can be found at It's Melissa with three A's.
Yes.
That's what we have for you tonight. Thank you all so much for joining us here. Hopefully Rob's internet can, hopefully he won't, hopefully he will be having a harder time with it moving forward. So it won't be so floppy. And we will have it all figured out. So thank you all so much again for joining us here tonight. And we will see all of you next time.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.